Back here in segment number two of our guest of the day, City of Manchester, their regular meeting of the council last night. A lot of action taken, discussions being made, being joined by City Manager Tim Vick. Good morning, by the way.
Good morning.
You know, I would be remiss. It is our job to have open discussions about everything. And we really haven't had much discussion with you guys about the court case that was decided last Friday. And I know that there are legal, you know, hurdles that you have to you can't address it. But as we got the verdict and conversations that I've had with other members of the community, it put a question in my head that I wanted to ask you. When cities end up as having to pay a judgment, whatever it may be, and we're not discussing the merits of the case here, we're not doing it, just if a city gets a judgment, where do cities derive the money to pay that judgment?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. It's difficult to answer exactly because sometimes you have insurance. Well, but insurance also have riders and clauses in them. But if the city is required to pay outside of what insurance is available, well, you have to take a loan out. You borrow money to pay that. So then it comes off the debt service, or you pay with whatever funds you have in reserves to cover those costs. So it really depends upon what the judgment is, whether you have insurance, whether your insurance policy has a rider exclusion that would prohibit the city from using that insurance to cover that. So, you know, there's a lot of variables going into place in how this works. But cities are just like any other entity or corporation. When you have a judgment against you, and if there's not insurance covering it, or the judgment exceeds what your insurance policy is, you have to come up with that money someplace else.
Now, again, we're not talking any opinion on the judgment. That's not what we're here today, but I know that that's been one of the discussions. Well, where do we get the money? Well, I think that's a fair enough answer.
You know, and it's happened before where cities have had to issue a loan or issue a bond in order for them to pay a judgment that was issued against them.
Yeah. Well, that being said, let's jump into some of the action that was occurring last night in the meeting. I'm encouraged by Mr. Schulte, the development that's going on Marion Street and his desire to expand even further. Has that been a part of the discussion?
You know, that's always been part of that discussion as he started his development out there, as how he would do future developments. And as things grow and those units get full, right now he says he has a waiting list, so there's a demand. There's still demand for more units. And as long as there's demand and we have someone that's willing to develop that, you know, obviously as a city, we want to see more people coming into town. We want to grow our population. That helps us by providing more workforce for the industries and commercial entities that are looking for workers and trying to hire people. So, you know, it used to be cities just chased smokestacks. All we were over focused on was industry. You figured at that time, if you brought industry to town, you'd bring people to town. Well, right now, values have changed. People decide where they want to live, and then they look for a job. So we're really trying to chase people, too.
You know, in the conversations that I've had with some of the other entities, when industry is coming in or looking to come in, they look at school districts. Mm-hmm. Well, we've been very fortunate that we've gone through, the school district has done a great renovation in there. They look at the culture. The Manchester Area Chamber of Commerce, the endowment has done a fabulous job of making a culture welcoming and vibrant in there. Mm-hmm. But housing is truly one of the big ones that are on there. Have we done, and I'm sure it may, we have numbers or some type of feasibility study, or you know, do we know where we're at in terms of are we full? What's our
We did a comprehensive housing study 4 or 5 years ago, and that showed that we were lacking over 250 houses. That was the immediate demand at that time, and we're starting to catch up on those. After 5 years, those studies go stale. So we're probably going to be due to redo that study to see what is it we're needing. You know, how are we sitting on rental units? How are we sitting on single occupier or home occupation or home occupied Single family occupation. Yeah, no, it's a hard day.
I know. But, you know, part of the discussion was, okay, there was some discussion of tax abatements and working on the infrastructure. And I think it was like to the tune of like $400,000. Is that standard operating procedure for cities to do that?
There's a lot of things to look at. It depends upon where you're at. You know, growing communities, the urban areas, you know, a lot of the times the developer takes on that risk because that community is growing and they don't need to take that risk on. Rural areas, we see it's very hard to find someone to invest into those communities. It's because the profit margins are just a little bit tighter for them. And so we try to help incentivize them to do that development. And so we will assist with doing the infrastructure to get to them. With West Marion Street, you know, the infrastructure is already in place because we had other visions we did along the area a long time ago. But when we look at a new subdivision, we may be assisting the developer to put in the streets and the water and the sewer and doing some sort of revolving loan or forgivable loan based on the number of units. If they complete that development and we're getting the taxes coming back off of that, that's how we recover our funding from that. So, you know, we look at those and try to make sure what we're doing is going to be apples to apples and something that'll work.
Well, not only are we trying to grow the residential community, but the industrial. I know A1 had a proposal on there. Now, A1 mobile storage units have been a part of our landscape, Delhi, Manchester area, for decades now. Their proposal, though, a 70,000 square foot manufacturing facility. That's kind of a big time operation.
That's a huge facility. That really is a big facility. They're looking into doing a lot of their storage units inside that building. They do a lot of retrofitting, remanufacturing of those units. So they've got some good contracts. I think it's a great opportunity for us to bring them into town. Right now they're in the county and their lease is running out. So they're looking to come into town and do a much larger facility so they have room to expand and grow.
But, you know, I know you're working hand in hand with Donna on this, the economic development. Mm-hmm. But, you know, not only would they be keeping jobs in Delaware County, because obviously if the lease is up in the Delhi area, they're going to think that it's not that far of a drive. Yeah. But you have to figure with that size of growth, they're going to grow their employees exponentially.
Yes. You know, so we talk about this a lot. One, we want to retain all the employees we can retain. So retainage is a big portion of it. And then growth is the second portion. What can we recruit and bring in? And so with the A1 storage, they're retaining 45 employees or so, thereabouts, and then they're looking to grow another 15.
So, and I know it's kind of hard to speculate at this point because you're just kind of getting started in the public phase, the discussion part, but if all things check off, tick, 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 when are they hoping to start construction, and what would be their dream goal of being in operation?
They would love to be in the facility before the end of the year.
And that's doable. For what they're doing,
it's very tight. It's a, you know, because we're already at the end of March already. It's a tight turnaround, but yeah, their goal is to get in there by the end of the year.
Oh, we certainly hope so, and of course, public discussion will be on that as well. I know we've talked about a couple things, but I want to get one more because today is the 26th. We've got less than a week now, and the traffic is going to change greatly on Monday.
Yeah. So if you go through the Bailey Drive intersection on Main Street on a regular basis, get accustomed to taking a detour route. The detour routes will go up Monday, April 1st, and that intersection will be closed down. If you're south of the intersection, you'll have to go down to Brewer Street. If you're north of or east and west of the intersection, you go through on Main Street, you're going to go up to Iowa and over on Butler and back down Stiles.
You know, the one I feel the most sorry for is that residence just right there. It's right smack dab in the middle. How are they going to?
They're probably going to park right next to the signs.
Well, and you know what? They're going to have to.
Yep. And so, but the other thing is we've been talking about vehicular traffic. You know, pedestrian traffic is going to be impacted too because that walkway will be closed.
Oh,
that segment of the walkway, because we have construction going on, so we don't want people walking through there.
Now you're talking the south side of Main Street, north side of Main Street. They
could
be
a sidewalk, and that's still work. I would encourage people to walk around
and show some respect to the property owners.
Correct.
Too. Don't go walking up into their yard necessarily. But April 1st is when they start, and that's that intersection, which will then lead into the West Main resurfacing project, that kind of will just kind of go right along with it, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And I know that I've had a chance to talk to several of the businesses in there, and they're kind of making game plans on how to access the building. But at this point, everybody will be able to have access.
Detour signs up and access signs to the businesses. They will all be open and functional. We will have a way for you to get to them.
And really, if you're coming from town, going out of town on Old 20 there, instead of going to the intersection, you can kind of you go to the intersection before, and you just kind of do a block around. It's not that much of a detour.
Actually, it's two blocks because Anderson Street isn't all the way through for you to get on Fayette. So you have to go up to Butler.
It's
a small town.
Yeah, small town. It's the way to go. Tim, I know that we're kind of pressed for time here, but was there anything else that you want to make sure that we make mention?
No, I think we've covered it. It was a great meeting Monday night.
All right. Tim Vick, your city manager here in the city of Manchester, part of our Guest of the Day program here on Mix 94.7.